Hello, everybody. You are listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am sitting with...
John Greenfield.
And we're here in Reggie's Rock Room upstairs at Record Breakers in the back room doing a backstage interview, part of the Printer's Ball. That's way too much information for you to consume, and I apologize already. John Greenfield wrote this book that I have recently finished called Bars Across America, Drinking and Biking from Coast to Coast. And it's a very fascinating read, and it really makes you want to bike everywhere. John biked from, was it Washington?
Close. From, it was basically Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine.
Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine. I've never felt lazier while reading a book than I've read your book.
Someone told me today that after reading the book, their ass hurt.
Really? Your bike doesn't cover one thing that I really wanted to know about. How often did you have a flat tire?
That's a good question. I built up that bike right before the trip. I work at a shop in Logan Square called Boulevard Bikes.
Which is on Logan. It's on like Logan and Kedzie?
Yeah, it's next to Lula Cafe.
Exactly.
I'm a mediocre mechanic myself, but the mechanics there helped me out building up a new bike. I had no problems with this bike, a Soma cross check on the whole 5,000 mile trip, except one time I hopped off a curb and got a flat. That was my only flat on the whole trip.
You didn't write about that.
I didn't. That's funny.
Why did you leave that out?
I guess it's a little embarrassing. I don't know.
I just brought my bike to Roscoe Village Bikes because it was it had a flat tire and the alignment needed to be fixed. And I was like, well, I'll support a local business. I'll go to Roscoe Village Bikes. I work at the Hungry Brain. It makes sense. I get my bike home. It's fine. I take my bike out the next day. The back tire is flat, and I'm angry.
Oh. Well, when you're fixing a flat, there's three things you have to look for. You have to, you inflate the tube and try to figure out where the hole was in the tube. And then you run your finger around the inside of the tire, and you try to see if there's anything sticking in the tire that might puncture the tube again. And then you check the rim and see if there's anything like the end of the spoke that might puncture the tube. So if you do all three of those things, it's unlikely that you'll get another stupid flat. So I don't know. It's possible that all those three things weren't done. Although Roscoe Village Bike seems like a great shop to me. So they probably did that.
Are you only saying that because you're a nice man, or have you had good experiences with Roscoe Village Bikes? I'm really mad right now. I spent a lot of money on that flat.
Well, the owner of Roscoe Village, he declined to stock my book, but he did buy a copy. So he seemed like a nice guy.
So it seems like a little bit of bullshit to me. Oh, you're such a nice guy.
Maybe you just hit a thumbtack on the way home.
I completely disagree because it was the same tire that was flat initially. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Let's be mean to Roscoe Village Bikes. You better fix my bike or we're going to do nothing because I have no power. Okay. Why did you want to do this book? It's a great... It's super inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's inspiring because there's so many books about walking or biking across America. Whatever. That's fine. But you bring in alcohol to this. And you don't seem like an alcoholic. You're definitely in shape. And you don't ever imbibe too much. It's an exercise in moderation and exercise.
Yeah, I don't think there's any... I went to about 50 bars in this book, and I don't think there's any stories of me getting wasted.
Never. Now, did you get wasted?
There's one where I kind of fell asleep on my bar stool, but that was after biking 120 miles.
Yeah, you just make everyone else seem lazy. That's awesome.
I think the book does reflect... one message in the book is that drinking is not always a destructive thing, and
that
neighborhood and community bars are not necessarily a scourge, but they might actually be an asset to a neighborhood. In Chicago, like, interesting neighborhood bars have been disappearing since the early 90s, which happens to coincide with about the time when Mayor Daley's son got arrested for serving alcohol to minors at a house party. That seems to be when the crackdown on dive bars started.
So you seem to hate Mayor Daley.
I don't hate Mayor Daley. Under Mayor
Until
Daley...
Until Mayor Daley gives me a job, I hate Mayor Daley. As soon as I become his crony, I love Mayor Daley. So right now, I hate Mayor Daley. Mayor Daley, I would love a job from you. I will be your biggest fan. I will sell out instantly.
I think it's safer to say I have a love-hate relationship with Mayor Daley.
Why do you love him? He's a bike fan. I know that.
I think he's done a lot of cool stuff.
Name two.
Millennium Park and Bicycle Initiatives.
Yeah. It's great when you say, I'm going to build a park, and it takes 7 years later and twice the budget. That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's pretty awesome now that it's here. I went to the Tortoise show last night. What a nice scene.
Yeah, that's okay. You're so nice. I'm not going to get mean with you. Okay.
All right, so back to the topic.
I like that you're leading the interview. This is making me so happy. Continue.
Well, somebody's got to.
I know.
Just kidding.
I've been drinking. You don't got to say kidding. I admit it.
All right, so the
I've been reading your book too much and not biking, so I'm just drunk. Continue.
You need to burn that off with a nice pedal after.
Yeah, you know what? I could, except Roscoe Village Bikes fucked up my back tire. I'm angry,
no
sir.
No comment.
I got a lot of comments.
All right, the theme of the book is that community taverns are actually a positive thing in a community. You know, when you're bicycling across the United States or taking any kind of trip in rural America, you're going to wander into a lot of towns that are a couple hundred people. And any of these towns, they're going to have a church. They're going to have a diner, which is probably going to serve, you know, serviceable food. And they're going to have at least one tap. I mean, you know, that's where people go to, you know, in addition to the church and the diner, that's where people go to hang out.
It's the meeting spot.
Yeah.
It's the community.
Exactly. If you're a stranger in a town, the bar is usually a great place to go to meet locals. And if you're on a bike, you know, you're kind of a freak. So people
you have
are,
an instant talking point.
Yeah. So people are always curious about what you're up to. So I met a lot of cool characters on the way, got a lot of hospitality, you know, a few shady situations, but overall was a really positive experience. Made me feel good about America's taverns.
When you decided to do this trip, did you think you were going to write a book about it?
Good question.
I'm trying.
I think I kind of figured out that I was going to write about taverns going across America while I was biking down the Oregon coast with my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend, to the listener, your girlfriend was on the first leg of the trip, and then she was on the Illinois to Michigan leg of the trip. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I did read the book.
Yeah,
that's me proving it.
So, by the time we got to Eugene and she had to fly home, I had determined, like, she had encouraged me to keep a journal of these visits. I guess the idea initially came from I have an older brother who bicycled from Seattle to Boston in the early '90s, and he had this plan that he was going to eat a cinnamon roll every day. And he soon got sick of cinnamon rolls, but I guess it's a similar idea, the idea that I would try to go to a bar every day or so.
Yeah, but to me, bars seem a lot more fun than Cinnabons across the country.
Yeah, I mean, you would get sick of cinnamon rolls or get diabetes after eating one every day for, you know, 10
yeah,
weeks.
That makes sense.
I never got sick of drinking beer on this trip.
You used to book, run the handlebar? That's how I kind of met you.
In the early days, back before the handlebar became wildly popular.
I'm thinking like 03, 04?
Yeah, there was a series called You Lock Rock.
Yeah.
So I used to play at that and book people, solo artists.
The reason why I mentioned that is because you were, I don't know, is Illinois First still going on?
Yes, in fact, we played a show a couple weeks ago. It was sort of a reunion show, but it was very fun.
Illinois First is a band that you front, and all the songs are about Illinois.
That's true.
I love that band. It's great. It makes me feel very, what's patriotic, but just for the state.
Very
Illinoisian.
Yeah, Illinois pride.
Illinois pride. I got a lot of Illinois pride when I hear.
You know, the
band.
Title has an exclamation. The name of the band
Illinois
has an exclamation
first.
Point, so it's like a raised fist. It's like Illinois First.
Why do you hate all the other states?
I don't hate all the other states. I do hate Sufjan Stevens, though.
Yeah. What did you think of that? Did that fuck you up? Because he's done two states thus far, and
it kind of pulled the floor out from under me. So Sufjan Stevens, in case
you
don't know.
Do people think you're a cover band?
I've never gotten that.
Good.
Sufjan Stevens, I like his music a lot. I think
you're so diplomatic. You
could
just say he's not good. He whines too much. It's not great. It's okay. It's not great.
I will say this. That ever since, like, he put out his one, there, you know, he said he was going to do albums about all 50 states. He already did a Michigan album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then his second album was Illinois, and that became a big hit. And he said he was going to do the other 48 states. And ever since, like, he killed my dreams with his hugely successful Illinois album that, you know, it's not really true, because his Illinois First was fairly played out by the time that came out. But
why can't you just say he's not that good?
I think he's excellent. You know,
no, he's not excellent.
And one of his proteges is St. Vincent.
Yeah, she's excellent. He's okay.
All
he
right.
Putters around too much. Hey, Sufjan, Write more songs. Stop complaining.
Well, that's the thing. He
fucking scream for once. You have no soul. You have a lot of good ideas. You know what I just did? I isolated everyone that goes to grad school right now. I just did that.
So, you know, in his defense...
No,
I mean,
why are you defending him?
I did contact...
You're better than him. I'm complimenting you.
Oh, you know, this is going to segue nicely back to my book.
I hope so. Let's do that. Let's sell some books,
Because I contacted his record label, Asthmatic Kitty Records. I told him about my project. I sent him a copy of my CD and a T-shirt. And then they were very cordial, and they sent me T-shirts for all the band members. You know, the Come On Feel the Illinois shirts.
So what they did was they promoted directly to you with hopes that you would wear that at your show.
I'm sure.
So what they did was really good marketing.
But I actually passed through Lander, Wyoming.
Okay.
Which is the home of Asthmatic Kitty Records.
Really?
And I even tell the story.
I kind of like them more now that they're in Wyoming. That's kind of nice. I take back everything I said. Sufjan, I'm a fan again.
Well, he's not in Wyoming, but...
The label is, and that's neat. If they're in Wyoming, more power to them.
And I didn't realize that... I totally forgot about that fact when I was passing through the town, so I didn't, like, look up Sufjan's record label while I was there. I probably could have gotten a free place to sleep or something. But the record label, Asthmatic Kitty, is named after a story that I heard while I was in a bar, the Lander Bar in Lander, Wisconsin... Lander, Wyoming.
Okay.
That the bar used to be occupied by, like... the widow of the woman, the guy who owned the building before. Anyway, this was this asthmatic woman, and she died. And supposedly, you can hear her ghost, you know, wheezing with asthma to this day. So I guess her name was Kitty, and so she's Asthmatic Kitty.
Is this common knowledge?
I bet Sufjan Stevens fans probably know that.
I had no idea. That's so fascinating. I am in love with that story. That's brilliant. I'm not joking. I've been drinking. I can't lie right now. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Why don't you smell like a biker?
Why don't I smell like a biker? The reason why, and... is because I didn't actually ride here. I will be riding home.
Well, okay. Do you?
I had an interesting experience tonight. A friend insisted on driving me here in a BMW convertible, a very beat up BMW convertible. He's a guy who fixes cars.
Okay.
And
so he's a criminal.
It was the first time I've ever ridden a convertible in Chicago.
It's fun, isn't it?
And we put my bike in the back seat.
Isn't it fun?
It was fun, I gotta admit.
It's so much fun.
Especially on a night like this.
Oh, God, it's brilliant. It's like, what, 70 degrees out?
It's beautiful.
It's so nice.
And we didn't hit anybody with my wheel hanging out the side, so it was a good ride.
Do you
know what's really great about it?
Yes.
Is because, like, I felt like, you know, we were two dudes cruising down Milwaukee Avenue in a BMW convertible.
Hell yeah, you were.
And I would have felt like a total douchebag, except... that I had my single-speed bike hanging out the car. So it's
two questions.
It's like my other car is a bike.
I love this interview thus far. You're great. Why do bikers smell bad? Do you wear deodorant?
I do.
Why do a lot of bikers not wear deodorant? I don't get it. This isn't a joke. It really bothers me.
Do you think they smell differently than other people who've been getting exercise?
Yes. Because most people that go to the gym wear deodorant and or shower after
most people shower after
their workout.
Yeah.
Where a lot of bikers I know, they just bike everywhere, and that's awesome. And I try to bike everywhere, except Roscoe Village Bikes fucked up my wheel.
I would guess that a lot of people who bike commute regularly are people who don't sweat that much.
That's complete
bullshit.
That
real sweaty guys don't opt to bike commute.
When I sweat out, I just sweat out booze. It's fine. I smell like awesome times happened. When bikers sweat, it smells like a lot of shitty times happened, and we haven't showered in weeks, and God forbid we use deodorant.
You know, there really ought to be a brand of bourbon called Awesome Times.
Yeah, it's me. All the bourbons and beers I mix, that's me. That's Awesome Times.
In fact, that's not too bad an idea to dab some bourbon under your arm.
Yes, that's... Why don't they dab bourbon under their arms, number one? Number two, why do you like riding a single-speed bike? Did you ride a single-speed bike across the country?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Here's the bike I rode. This
we're looking
is
at the back
more
cover.
Or less a touring bike.
What is a touring bike? For those that like, I'm a casual rider. I've never taken my bike outside of Chicago in the suburbs.
Uh huh.
I've never gone a long distance. What's the difference between a touring bike and a road bike?
Well, in order to tour effectively, you need a bike that can carry bags, you know, saddlebags, panniers, or panniers. And so that means you need to be able to put racks on it. You want to be able to put fenders on it to keep you dry in a rainstorm. And you need some tiny little granny gears to...
Wait, what? Granny gears?
Yeah.
What's a granny gear?
A gear is a gear that's so easy, even your granny would feel comfortable riding.
Oh, that's
riding
nice.
It.
That's a cute name for a bike thing.
So when you're climbing up a steep mountain, you can just get in your granny gear, and instead of like standing up in the pedals and grinding away at it, you just relax and slowly work your way up the mountain.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Would you do this again?
The trip?
Yeah, the trip.
Yes. In fact, sometime, I should probably do this before I get run over by a truck or something, but...
Are you afraid of that?
It could happen.
Are you more afraid to bike in Chicago or bike on the interstate?
I think you're probably more at risk in Chicago.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
More messed up stuff that can happen.
Yeah.
Everything's pretty linear when you're... I have done bike trips where I've literally ridden, I guess even on this trip, yeah, like outside of Denver, I had to ride on the shoulder of the interstate a little bit.
Is that when the highway
out west, it's not bad. Like, if there's no exits, then it's, and there's big shoulder, it's fine.
You're very inspiring.
Oh, thanks.
It's very good. One of the points about the book, we really haven't talked about it much, is at each town, you try to stop at a bar. I'd say 90% of the time you do. The last bar in the book. It's this place called Shipwreck Lounge, and it's about to close. Is that correct?
Right. I'm sure it's gone now.
Why are bars like that important?
Man, I had a great time at the Shipwreck. It was the perfect bar to end my trip on. Definitely one of the best bars on the trip. Part of it was just I was stoked from having finished my ride, mostly. I rode up to Maine, up the coast from... that bar was in Revere, Massachusetts, outside of Boston.
And you went to the Cheers bar.
Yes, which sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Cheers bar. Did you expect any different?
I mean, it was originally called the Bull and Finch.
Originally.
And it's actually where my dad went when he turned 21.
I've
and
read
I'm
the
sure
book.
It was a great
I know,
bar back then.
I know, but there wasn't a sitcom back then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the reason the Shipwreck ruled was it was at 11 o'clock in the morning. And, I mean, I was stoked because I just finished my ride, but there were all these great characters hanging out there. There was this one guy who was a retired state trooper, and he had this great Boston or Massachusetts accent, saying stuff like, yeah, my poor father was a cop here in Revere. And
I love stereotypes when they're nice. That's so nice.
That's no stereotype, man. I transcribed what he said.
Yeah, that's a stereotype, though. Let's be honest. It's still good. It's nice.
So they were going to tear down the bar to build condos, and... So this guy was quite... You know, you think of state troopers as being hard asses, but he was actually a real nice, fun-loving guy. He was retired. He was currently into scuba diving. He talked about hunting bear.
That's so great, man.
He used to have a pet mountain lion, and he said...
that guy's crazy. He's literally insane. He has a pet mountain lion.
He was living with his mother at the time, and his mother got sick of boiling up...
Wait, how old is he? He's a retired guy, and he's going to live with his
mom? At the time, this was when he was a young man.
Oh, okay.
And his mother got tired of boiling up, like, 20 pounds of chicken each day to feed the mountain lion, because he said...
That's right.
You got to feed it cooked meat, or otherwise the raw meat brings out its instinct, and
That's
it starts
so
attacking
great.
Things.
I love that.
And he said, I was having an illicit relationship with a woman in bed one day... And then the mountain lion bit the woman on the toe. So that's when I knew it was time for the mountain lion to go. So he gave it to a zoo in New Hampshire.
I love that you meet insane people. That's so great. All right, let's plug your book, and then we'll close the interview. Where can people buy Bars Across America? I saw it in Hardboil, the record store.
Yeah, it's in many of the cooler bike shops and bookstores around town. Boulevard Bikes,
you,
where
you
I
You know
work.
Where it's not? Roscoe Village Bikes.
But you can get it next door at Hardboiled.
Yeah.
And you can also buy it online via my website, pintsizepress.info. And that'll also tell you all the local locations where you can buy it.
John, thank you so much for doing this. You're a great man. I really enjoyed your book. Keep Illinois First together. Let's close this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. It's an awful, awful book. I want you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
157.
If your parents didn't care whether you got good grades or not, would you be upset? What is something you know more about than the kid who gets the best grades in your class?
Yes, I'd be very upset if my parents didn't care if I got good grades or not. That meant they didn't really care about me.
Yeah, your dad went on your bike trip with you. He loves you. That's weird. That's weird to me. I don't get that. I don't know why you do anything. You have supportive parents. What's the point?
I gotta say, I don't know if cool is the right word. I was just hanging out with my dad last weekend. He spent the entire trip wearing a headband and, earphones like what you're wearing around his neck. Like to restaurants and stuff.
That's awesome. That's a guy that knows who he is.
He's a very nice guy, and he's 74, and he still does bicycle travel. So.
Are your parents still together?
My mom passed away, but she was a great lady.
But they were good till the end?
Yeah.
Your dad knows where it's at. He doesn't give a fuck. That guy's awesome.
It's definitely true to say my dad doesn't
give
a fuck.
That guy's like Tommy Lee, but better, because he's not a piece of shit. Your dad's like Tommy Lee. Tell him that. That's awesome. That's fucking great, man.
Yeah, I think you take that as a compliment.
Yeah, that's a fucking compliment. He's got a huge dick, and he loved your mom. That's all that matters.
No comment.
And he could drum. I could comment all I want. Huge dick. That's all I'm
man,
saying about
I,
your dad.
I was going to send him a link to this interview, but now I'm not so sure.
I'm complimenting your dad. He's going to be thrilled.
So
he's got a huge 74-year-old dick with giant headphones. What's the problem? What's the... I hope that's on my gravestone. Huge 74-year-old dick with headphones. Not a problem. The end. And then spike the football. And it's a hologram of the football.
All right. Shall I answer the second half of your question?
Yeah, answer the second half. Bring it back on track, buddy.
So, and the kid who gets better grades than me, I'm sure I know more about life
the country,
on the streets.
In bars across America, drinking and biking from coast to coast.
That's right.
It's a good book. I encourage anybody that rides a bike to buy this book. I encourage anyone that likes beer and doesn't think it could be good for your health. It's a social thing. It makes sense. Thank you so much for doing this. What's your website again?
The website is pintsizepress.info.
Pintsizepress.info. Thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful evening.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.